We were at the event to watch my grandson walk in the children's parade, which happened. The children's parade happened at 9:15, which is a yearly event in Highland Park. The kids go on scooters and tricycles, bikes. Some parents are pushing in strollers. I would think that there were hundreds of families walking with their kids as my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandson walked. My grandson pushed his little bubble lawnmower. My concern was for people. Every time I saw a truck go by on a side street, I always thought of what happened last year in Wisconsin, just because I'm a paranoid grandfather. So the children's parade finishes, and then the police and fire truck and search and rescue teams from the community, and then the Highland Park marching band comes through. And then there was a little lull before some of the other couple floats, and the little klezmer band was to come through. And then the shots rang out. It was a series of incredible sounds that I've never heard before, never having actually been in close proximity to gunfire. But these were like sonic booms. These were just rapid fire, as you've heard. You've seen the audio. There was a couple 15 seconds delay while he probably put another clip in, and then another 40 shots rang out. So there was probably within 30 seconds, people were screaming, bodies down, bodies down, bodies down, and people started just running every different direction. That's it.
What did you do? What were your actions?
I was as shocked as everybody else, but when I saw that my family had run, I just sort of stayed for about 45 seconds or a minute. And then when you see all these people screaming next to their relatives who are on the ground, I just sort of went, when I thought the shooting had stopped. So then I went towards maybe 50 yards away, 50 yards to the west from where my family was seated, was where all these bodies were strewn, mostly on the south side of the street, which would have been 50 feet away from the little perch up on top of the Uncle Dan's store that people have heard about. But the bodies were tragically just strewn about in front of the Walker Brothers restaurant. That's where all the real carnage was. That's where there were six people who were blown up. There was a little boy that we've all heard about who the family has now finally disclosed that he is paralyzed. The spinal cord was severed. I saw the parents of the little boy who came to the parade with parents and left without parents. Those bodies were, the father was literally blown up. I was there with the paramedic when they were running around just trying to assess who was alive and who was dead. And they were blown up. The father was literally blown apart. I know down in Uvalde, they said that they had to do DNA to identify some of those students. Well, you know, now I know why, because I saw firsthand what those bullets did to people. I saw the back of I think the gentleman, maybe that's too much, from who was there from Mexico. I saw what it did to his head.
A lot of people were shot and didn't die. How severe were the wounds in those cases?
I mean, how many people are still in the hospital? Somebody who I know, and I think you know, had the back of her foot blown up and will require a lot of surgery. But maybe it was a little shrapnel wound. I don't know. I don't know what his aim was like, but he sprayed bullets. So
was he shooting from across the street from the Walker Brothers? Is that where his sight was?
I think I've heard he was up on top of the Gearhead or Uncle Dan's store and shooting down across the street, because that's where the people that were below him, I think, had the less serious. Those were not the casualties. Those were not the mortal casualties. So it was across the street with the six bodies that were blown apart.
I spoke with Brittany. She was angry with you for not running away. Why did you run towards the wounded?
Well, Larry, your dad was an incredible doctor for years. And, you know, I don't know if you would have asked him at 64 what he would have done. Maybe he would have done the same thing. It's just sort of an instinctual thing that as a physician, you're trained to try and help. But, you know, did I think in the moment that there was no chance that he was going to open up fire again? I don't think I thought that. I think I just heard people screaming, help, 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 help. So I went there. I don't think that's as important as everything else. Your dad may have done the same thing because he's a cardiologist and he maybe thought he could do CPR. I don't know. But in the moment, that's just what happened. Brittany said she was mad at me, and she's not mad at me anymore. She understands. I mean, at the moment, she was overwhelmed with fear, and she wanted everyone to be in the same place and getting out of there. Your nephew, my son, then came back to try and, he said he wanted to help. I was like, leave, just leave. You know, I mean, did I feel like the person had left? I hadn't heard gunfire in probably at that point a couple minutes. Then there were police running all around. Nobody knew what had happened, where he was, or if he had left the scene.
What lessons have you learned from this experience?
Nothing about trying to help. Zero about trying to help. There were other people who stayed there. There was somebody I know who was a plastic surgeon. He got his parents out of there. Then he came back a couple minutes later. There was a nurse. There was a nurse practitioner. There was an ER doctor. I think those people are like me. You just sort of instinctually feel like you should do something to help. What I've learned is that the weapon that a 21-year-old had access to, there's only one purpose. It's not for shooting beer cans in the backyard. It's not for killing deer. It's not for hunting. It is for creating mass casualty. There is no good reason that gun can ever, if somebody can tell me should be used in warfare, okay, use it in the war, but don't use it to rain terror down on people that went to a parade. The little 2-year-old who went to a parade and left to be raised by his grandparents, I mean,
it's gross.
It's horrific, but every mass casualty is horrific. But when things didn't change after Sandy Hook, you knew there was a problem. But this one, you know, happened in front of my eyes. You thought Sandy Hook, oh my God, you know, I mean, children in school, you see Uvalde, they resonate with you, but this one resonates obviously differently, because if your sister-in-law would have put our chairs down in a different place, we may not have a family. It could have been my grandson and every other young family pushing strollers and tricycles. It could have been the Highland Park Marching Band. It was a mass casualty scene during a lull in the parade of the corner opposite where he was sitting on top of a gearhead store. I mean, it's the whole thing every day becomes more unimaginable to me that it actually happened.
How has the city come together afterwards?
I mean, yesterday, I think there was a gathering in the park for people. I mean, I didn't go. I think people were just there. I don't know if it was a vigil. I think people or families are still there in shock. They're trying to calm their kids down. I mean, all the camps are trying to get started again, and they have counseling at the camps because the kids are afraid to leave their homes or go to camp or get on a bus. Or every time a kid hears a siren now, they run inside, which I guess it's going to take a while. But they were all there, and their parents picked them up and ran for their lives because they thought that nobody knew where he was coming from. Nobody knew where he was shooting from. Nobody knew if there were other people. Nobody knew if there was explosives. I mean, it's hard to believe it happened in a community. You're part of this community. You live in the community next door. It's still hard to fathom that this is the new normal. This is a new normal. You can't fix what happens in certain families. I mean, obviously they've been talking about the family that he came from. And I saw between 2010 and 2014, the police were called to the family for domestic issues between the husband and the wife. I don't know. It said 10 times in 4 years. And there was concerns about substance abuse with one of the parents or alcohol abuse or something. So it obviously was a family with a lot of issues. You can't fix that family. You can't fix how he was brought up. I don't know if he was bullied. I don't think anyone knows what happens to that kid. But when he dropped out of high school. That's not a good thing. The fact that there was the suicide attempt and the threats against his own family were obviously red flags, which the Highland Park police had records of. The fact that the father co-signed for his FOID card at some point, and now he says he has no responsibility. You can't change that. But the easy access to a weapon that rained terror down 4 days ago and the damage it did in 45 seconds is just, it's like, why is that weapon still being sold? Why is it so available? I mean, you're not going to be able to get them off the street, but can't they just stop putting them on the street? Why is it so available? It doesn't make any sense. And that's the thing that really is disturbing, that it just, there's no movement to get rid of them, or at least stop making them so available. There's lots of responsible gun owners. I get it. Guns are a part of people's lives. They have collections of them. And if they are responsible and keep them locked up, okay, I can live with that. But that weapon that became so easily available to a kid that had 21 years of probably not such a great upbringing, probably not such great, you know, DNA, you know, maybe did not fit in the community he was being raised in. I don't know. But you can't fix those things overnight. Mental illness that starts at a young age, or lack of confidence, or being bullied, or lack of self-esteem, there's no pill for that. There's no telemed for that. It's beyond that. It's one gun that people like to strap across their chest, you know, like they walked around up in East Lansing a couple of years ago when there was the COVID closures they were protesting. And you saw those guys outside the Capitol in East Lansing with those guns strapped across their chest. Well, okay, at least they didn't open fire. Made them feel like they had control. But if any of those people had kids who had an impulse and a desire to kill, who were angry at something, or feel like there were people that they wanted to punish for whatever reason, you can't fix that. Those are generational problems. It's not a kind society. It's not a, I mean, the society has gotten worse in the past X number of years. It's become okay to call people names during political events, and it's become okay to storm the Capitol. I mean, it's insanity. But there is a weapon that I have seen firsthand what it just did to lives, to families, to a little boy, to an 8-year-old who's paralyzed. Who's paralyzed for being in front of a pancake shop? He's paralyzed because of the irresponsibility of a family, the mental illness of a 21-year-old, the darkness that he got into maybe during COVID. I don't know, but those are not easily fixable. But a 80-round barrage of high-powered bullets from a, it's like somebody wants to go up in a hunting perch or whatever they do, looking for a deer, sitting there all day, that's fine. You want to kill the deer and you got a license, kill the deer. Kill it with a bow and arrow. Kill it with a assault rifle. But don't paralyze an 8-year-old for watching a parade. Don't make it so easy to kill our kids. Ruin their lives. Ruin the families. I mean, a 2-year-old doesn't have parents for no reason. I just have a hard time. In the court of common sense, my right to safety and freedom and somebody's right to have that weapon, it doesn't equate. I mean, why are we not safe?
We get depressed at the end of these calls. Can you find any optimism?
Larry, I don't know. You've got a lot of listeners who are influential people, who have resources, who have connections, who have the intelligence, who have the skills to organize, not like these little, you know, I mean, my daughter was talking about how there's just not well-organized anti-gun groups. They're all these little tiny offshoots of groups that have no national presence. It takes people who understand how to build an organization, how to have legal, how to have financing, how to have everything that it takes to make real change. I don't know. I'm not sure that the country wants it. If it didn't happen after Sandy Hook, if it did not happen after Sandy Hook, I don't know. I think Highland Park is almost off the news. It's going to probably go away. I hope it doesn't, but you've got a lot of people who probably feel the same way. But if this happens in Westport or Greenwich or wherever it is, oh, it came to our community. Well, it came to my community, and it's a nice community. And we didn't do anything wrong, and neither did anyone else. But that weapon has no right in the hands of a 21-year-old. Doesn't have any right in the hands of a 25-year-old. But, you know, it's got to start somewhere. It has to start with something changing, because you cannot fix mental illness overnight. You cannot fix families that are irresponsible. You're now seeing the father. I have no responsibility. He paid for it with his own money. Well, obviously, those are thoughts of somebody who is tone deaf to life. You know, his son just created a mass casualty situation, killing, paralyzing, destroying families. And this guy said, I didn't do anything. He paid for it with his own money. I mean, okay, let's forget about him. He talks about he's not going anywhere. He's going to keep his head up high in Highland Park. Okay, there's something wrong with those comments. Obviously, you know, that's part of the reason why his son went up on top of a building with an AR-type rifle and destroyed bodies, destroyed families, destroyed an 8-year-old's life. If he's never going to walk again. He has a twin brother that'll be playing basketball and baseball, and he'll be in a wheelchair. This happened in front of my eyes, in front of my family, in front of thousands of people, didn't see the bodies, but they felt the horror as they were running for their lives. The other day in Philadelphia, when the shots rang out at a gathering, now it's 15, 16, 14-year-olds bringing handguns to public spaces. Well, when they fire them in the air, everyone runs. Thank God somebody didn't have an AR-15 there. I guess it's hard to walk into a big space with that gun. But he opens fire, he creates a mass casualty situation. Handguns aren't going away. I wish they would. It's mind-boggling. Giving that gun to that child obviously happened for lots of things that are now well chronicled about the family and the dysfunction and he had academic issues. He had, you know, a family that obviously didn't know exactly what to do with him when he, you know, was offered services in school. Maybe he was bullied, but, you know, you can't change that. You can't fix that overnight. Those are generational issues. But what is immediate is the access that was so easy to legally purchase that weapon. It's just, he drove up to Madison, didn't have a good plan. You know, I mean, could have done the same thing at a big gathering. It's just hard to believe.
David, thank you.